And a very good morning to you. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us by calling 434-1790. You can also reach us by sending a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout is taking care of things technical. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host, and we go until 1:30 today. A couple of things. I want to start by reading an email that was sent. It's addressed to David. The person wanted to find out about getting WhatsApp or Skype messages while they're overseas. But they sent, an interesting email that I'm going to read to you. It says, I want to look in three stages that planners should typically adopt when working on an urban transportation system. One, land use. How do we allocate the different uses like housing, agriculture, industry, commercial, institutional lands? The purpose of a transport network is to get us from one land use area to another. So it makes sense that the way we organize the land would directly impact the transport network. Two, urban design. After discussing how we want to use the land, we would then think about the best way to design the spaces we've allocated. We want designs that facilitate the types of activities we want to happen in the space and that make travel within and through those areas as efficient and as pleasant as possible. And three, transit planning and operations. Once we've thought about the land use and the urban design, we can see whether it still makes sense to have a public transport system. Assuming that the answer to that is yes, we can then consider how it should be set up and run. Given that we've discussed how the land should be allocated and how the area should be designed, we can now have useful discussions about how public transport should operate in those areas. What I see in Barbados is a huge focus on step three, with lots of questions that look like this. What kind of uniforms should PSV operators wear? How much should the bus fare be? Why can't Transport Board make a profit? And why do we have four terminals in a city as small as Bridgetown? But we end up talking in circles because we're starting at step three and we don't have the foundations from step one and two to inform the discussion. I was planning to make a contribution over a series of three calls, using each call to discuss one of those stages. And the person said they're going to be out of the island and they would like to make a contribution. So I wanted to share that with you at the start of today's Down to Brass Tacks, because that person is out of the island and would not have been able to make that presentation themselves. So I share that with you. There's something else I want to comment on about a letter I saw in the newspaper yesterday, but I'll reach for that after we take some calls on Down to Brass Tacks. So you're on. Good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I am all right. And you?
I'm good.
What's up today?
No, this is not an attack. I want to make that clear, right?
Then careful with
this. This is a response.
To what? No.
And a comment. Now, there's a caller who calls the calling program who goes by the name.
Sir, go on. Leave that alone. Leave that part alone. Leave that part alone.
All right.
I keep trying to tell you, leave out the name part.
Okay. He criticized the previous administration for having 17 ministers, and rightly so. I supported that call, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want some balance. I want to hear his take now on the 26 ministers. Just want to know if you agree with it. Just yes or no. I don't want an explanation.
Okay.
Next thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was an unfair comment. I like people to be fair. As I said, I supported him in that call.
Okay.
With the 17.
Mm-hmm.
Or less. You know.
Mm-hmm.
We, the black people of this country, accuse the white people of keeping us back. Nobody can't keep back nobody. You know who are our worst enemy? We. We are the ones who are keeping us back. Two ingredients that I would like to see disappear from the face of the earth. And those ingredients are greed and envy. For some reason, we as a people hate to see one another get through. You, Dennis Johnson, will be catching the bus with me. Somebody will be saying you, Dennis Johnson, want a little beef with big man, one backyard. You, Dennis Johnson, catching the bus or walking saves me money. Of course, you don't tell nobody that. But they're drawing their own conclusions.
And listening to what people saying on the bus, too.
Right. People, you have accumulated enough funds to buy a car, not a Rolls Royce, a little Suzuki. And say, some mortgage going to go up and pay me for this ad. A little Suzuki. Right?
I hope they pay me
too.
You
know, you can say no. They're going to find the worst thing to say. And everything they're going to say is going to involve illegal activity. They will never say, well, you know what I'm saying?
That's right, yeah.
I might take sick during the night. And that same car
you're gonna pick you up?
Take me to the hospital. No, there's another splinter, right? Right? I don't know if I should use this as an example because I know that you are not that kind of person. But as a start, you can have you. You can let Johnson know take my credit card. You will pass me by the bus pole. Straight. That way, keep on saying they got three types of black people in this country we call Barbados, you know. The ones that when you go in the ladder, going to pull you down. The ones that when they are up the ladder, they're going to push them down. And the very few that will help you. Very, very few, and that's the ones that we need, you know.
Well, sir, I think we need all of them for a number of reasons. One, I think we need to understand the diversity. I think we need to understand sometimes that people harbor things. I usually tell people what you hate in others are the things you can't stand in yourself. And when I say that, people don't agree with me. People don't agree when I say it, but I say it nevertheless, perhaps sometimes to annoy them. Let me tell you this. You mentioned balance, and that was one of the things I wanted to talk about the letter to the editor I saw yesterday. But before I get that, let me say this to you. There are times when... We look at people and we make certain assumptions, and sometimes the assumptions are wrong because the assumptions are based on our perceptions and not necessarily the person's. When I read, for example, that someone did a survey and people say it's time to hold the big people in Barbados for drugs and the big people that's bringing guns, and I keep asking them, how do you define big people? Because big people have changed their look over the years. There are some big people who don't live big or look big, but they're fairly big. Their pockets are fairly deep, but because they don't want just what you talk about, people saying, you know, all of a sudden he gone from driving Suzuki to driving BMW, he dealing in drugs, or, you know, he stroking somebody's ego. So we downplay it. And there are other people who they ain't really doing all that good, but they want to impress, so they acquire BMW by whatever means. Sometimes they're paying through their nose for it, but, you know, they have a BMW now, so people look at them and say, oh, yeah, he's doing well. He got a Beamer now. He's a big boy. So we do things like that, and we make these assumptions. You talked about balance. I saw a letter to the editor yesterday that talked about people being unbalanced, and the person who wrote what I suppose they presume was a balanced article. I didn't think it was balanced because I saw some things in it that I went, come on. For example, it said they don't know or they haven't had a good explanation as to why there was a no confidence motion against Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford when he was just Erskine Sandiford. But I remember 1994 as a period when these call-in programs talked a lot about the 8% cut and talked a lot about the changes at the Board of Tourism that were being made. It was a talking point almost every day. That's how I got into this business, because I called about this talk on tourism. So the collapse of the Erskine Sandiford administration was because of a revolt within his own party. People were upset with the 8% cut, and people were upset with the changes he was making to the Minister of Tourism. He actually took the ministry himself at one point to make certain changes. So if you're writing a balanced article, you must remember that. Then he made a quotation made by then Dr. Richard Haynes, now the late Sir Richard Haynes, where he said that Prime Minister Arthur had a good wicket to bat on. Now, if you remember that comment, how come you don't remember that Dr. Richard Haynes stood up in Parliament and called Mr. Sandiford's budget a backstreet abortion and crossed the floor and three of the men abstain? If you can't remember those periods, or you don't think it's balanced, then listen to Observer's Shuffle and you'll find out about the shuffling of the tourist board, and listen to Bumba's debate where he would talk about Sandy Rock to the left, Richie Rock to the right, and three of the men abstain. It's there in our calypsos. So if we're talking about balance, as you asked the question of your friend, don't put blinkers on to balance. If you say it's wrong in the left hand, then, you know, say it wrong with the right hand, or admit that you're one-sided, or you're only seeing through one lens. So sometimes our view of balance depends on our particular bias, even if we try to hide it. Sometimes it rules what we say, sir. That can't change. Because I have a bias, but I don't let it show all the time.
Right.
So, all the time.
To me, your bias is hammering me right in a row.
No, I will tell you this now, and I hope... No, I know, but I'll tell you this now, and I hope you understand it, because a lot of people don't get it. When I think a lot of you, I hold you to a higher level than the people I don't think a lot of. So when people tell me I harassing this person or I just cut across that person, it's because I think they're smarter than and they should not do what I think they're doing. If I don't think the person making any sense, I just let them go.
And
I don't say
that. I want you to retract that statement. I want to be like smart.
No, man, listen.
Foolish.
Sir, that's all right. I do the same thing too, but that ain't because I'm foolish. You have to be smart to pretend you're foolish. Come on.
Two things quickly before you go.
Yes, sir.
No.
You have to be smart to pretend you're foolish. Come on.
Two things quickly before you go.
Yes, sir.
No. Again, my friend, mm-hmm. I am not critical of the 26 ministers.
Yeah, I know. Just want him to tell you why.
Is not an idiot. She's a very smart woman. Right? And mm-hmm. I think I know a way, but I ain't saying nothing. Right? And before other people start to criticize the 26, wait and see what's going to happen first. Look for production. The next thing, and I want you to get on board with this, what I'm going to tell you. I'm having a project going to bring back my song. You know what I mean? The credit thing. I have spoken to a number of people. Mm-hmm. They've all agreed. We want you on board. And I guarantee you, my son's going to come back. I know who's going to pay it back. Mm-hmm. The little people in the villages. Yeah, well. The little people that people don't listening to. It is going to come back. I don't feel it going to come back. I know.
I don't think it has gone. I don't think it has gone anywhere, because I go to Spitestone from time to time to engage with some folk down there. My pharmacist has a business down there, and I still support her. And I go around Spitestone and look at what's happening. There is life in Spitestone. Perhaps not the kind of life, I mean, if you look at Bridgetown, you got that much more life than Spitestone anyhow. I think Barbados has to readjust its thinking of a town center and what it's supposed to do. We have to look at the developments in the north and our movement of people from one area to the other. I mean, you got a school in Spitestone. You got more than one school in Spitestone. You got Alexandra on one end. You got CP up on the hill. You got Miss Leacock School. There are schools in Spitestone. Once you have schools and school children, there's a certain type of activity. There's a bus terminal in Spitestone. How you use it, how you get people in and out, what happens around buses and people waiting on public transport is an opportunity for commerce and enterprise. Sister Marshall used to walk around the bus stand selling snow cones, you know? And people used to buy snow cones. They used to look for Sister Marshall to buy snow cones for her. So there's business and there's enterprise around transport. So Spitestone, you know, it ain't dead. We just got to figure out what we call life and how we lively it up some more. And lively it up don't necessarily mean skyscraper buildings and you know, malls. There are other ways you could do it. So, you know, if people are willing to listen, we could talk. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Coverage is brought to you.
Hey, hello. Okay, you're listening to the radio. Come off the radio for a bit. You got 20 seconds to get to the phone. Hello. Brass Tacks, good morning. Another one listening to the radio. Guys, please, I ask you again. You got 20 seconds delay. So listen to the phone for the hello and not the radio for the hello, because you'll miss the call by about 20 seconds. And 20 seconds in radio, real long. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I'm all right, and you?
Not too bad. A couple of things here.
Mm-hmm.
In Barbados, we have what you call it, Ministry of Economic Affairs. And they said that ministry, you have another Minister of Economics.
Yeah, Minister.
And then outside of that, you have external economists who will be advising the Prime Minister, the government of Barbados, how to solve the problems in Barbados. So you have economists outside, advisors outside, they have inside the Ministry of Economic Affairs. My first question to you, the President of the United States, who surrounds the President of the United States and is advising him how to run the economy of America?
I don't know, sir.
Have you noticed that most of his team that he brings to his fold are people who are the same status as his business people?
Has it worked for him?
Bobby?
Has it worked for him?
So far, so good. Yes.
You think so?
Have you not noticed that the appointment rate in the United States has dropped the first time in years?
I don't pay attention. I'll tell you why, seriously? Sir. Seriously, I don't.
You don't pay attention.
No, sir. Serious.
Mr. Johnson, therefore, I cannot have a conversation today concerning the United States.
Agreed. But I often say so to you. Sir, because, you see, to me, the United States is not the epicenter of my world. The United States is not the yardstick I use to measure anything or everything. And I'll tell you why. Yesterday I said it as well. There are several big companies operating in the United States who lobby and use extreme measures to get their way. We seem to sit here and believe that they do not. The Fed in the United States don't listen to the president. The Fed in the United States is an independent body, and it takes decisions whether the president agree with it or not. Because the president has said on more than one occasion, he don't agree with what the Fed doing, but he can't tell the Fed nothing, because the Fed does what they want to do. Now, the president's action may affect the stock market, and people who deal in stocks and bonds may react to what the president says, and that may affect their business, and somebody may lose a billion here or a billion there. So, but the United States is not the epicenter of my world, so I don't bother with it. I really don't. And that's the truth.
Yeah, so therefore, how, in a case like Barbados, how do you go about that, judging the performance of Barbados?
I judge Barbados's performance based on one, the actions taken by the administration to regulate the lives of Barbadians in as far as they could, one. Two, how the business community treats its customers and how they understand their link between the consuming public and the dollars in their pocket. And three, how we as citizens of Barbados treat each other. None of them three things got to do with the United States, sir. None.
Yes.
None.
But would that bring productivity and foreign interest to Barbados?
Of course, because if the people of Barbados understand that their worth, note my term, their worth. In other words, if I, Dennis Johnson, and you, sir, understand your worth, so that you say, if you're doing a consultancy, you say, this is what my business is worth. This is what I charge. This is what you get. And you give me more than I pay for. If I see my contribution to this company being coming to work at least an hour before I have to work, making sure that I can be productive while I'm here and to lend my assistance wherever I can, and my company sees that as being productive and they reward me for it in various ways, and I spread my reward around, Barbados is then seen as a place where Bajans work and deliver. That was what Bajans were seen and observed to do. That's why people employed Barbadians the world over. That's why they came here to do business. That's why they came here to relax. People bought homes in Barbados because a maid or a gardener at a hotel treated them well. Not because the general manager came from New York, or not because the president of the United States was green, blue, black, or yellow. People came to Barbados because the Bajans made them feel at home, made them feel safe, and gave them excellent service. So they came and they bought million-dollar homes And they took people overseas to visit with them and sent their children to school. So that's what we were raised on. That ain't got nothing to do with the U.S.?
But things have changed. Have you
really?
Yes, things
for
have changed.
For whom? It changed for you? Has it changed for you?
Let me draw an example to you. You work at Paradise for SMO 2 years.
5.5, 6, yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you the figure.
Yeah.
Yes. While you were down there, there were visitors who came to Barbados, repeat visitors. They like Paradise. They like the surroundings, the environment, the Paradise beach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were some visitors who would come to Paradise, repeat visitors, but they would come, they would go on the beach, go book in the hand, go back in the hotel room, come back to dinner, back in the room. These are people who may have come here, so they might be concentrating on writing a book, they might be actors and that sort of thing. Those are people that you can't tell them, let's go for a drive, because they're not interested in that.
Agreed.
You agree? Right. There are some who are still like life. Or the night they get a taxi going to work, et cetera, et cetera. The ones that don't want to go to there, how do you convince them now? And this is a problem that I have with the Minister of Tourism. How do you convince those people who just want to come in and relax, not to go anywhere, that they hold the U.S. money, start spending it left, right, and center?
Sir, because they have to pay for their rooms, because they have to pay for their breakfast, because they have to pay for their dinner, because they pay for room service. And believe it or not, they tip the people who give them good service.
I agree.
There are people who've come to Barbados. They may have been on their honeymoon, and all they did was enjoy the honey in the room.
That's right.
Good.
Yes.
But they come back 20 years later for their 20th anniversary because their wife remembered that somebody used to bring room service and put a flower and say, your husband sent a flower for you today, whether they did or not. So they come back 20 years later.
I can't disagree with that.
Me neither, because I know the people who did it.
But you know, there are other tourists too who will go to a place and they don't want no hotel. They just want a place to write, and they want the maid servant, the driver of car, etc. And that satisfies them.
Yes, but sir, listen. What you have to do is to know your visitor, know what they came for, and deliver what they want above their level. Sir, there's a gentleman, Prince Abul Aziz Al-Sudari. That's not his name now. He got a bigger name than that now. But when he came to Barbados, he was Prince Abul Aziz Al-Sudari. He didn't want anybody to know he was here. He didn't want people to know he was a prince. He came with his lady. I don't know whether he was his first wife, second wife, or third wife. I don't know. But he tipped more $100 bills so that people would ignore him and the lady in the next room, because he wanted two rooms while he was here. He lost his ring swimming on the beach and came into the activities department and said, I've lost my ring. It's the family ring. I need it. The water sport went out. They found the ring. They brought it back. He said, how many men? We told him 7 or 8. He put $1,000 in every envelope and gave it to the people in water sport. Okay? He left Barbados and he went back. His name wasn't in the newspaper. No, you know how much money he spent to not be seen? Yesterday, the newspaper said there were 7,000 people who visited Barbados for crop over who used Airbnb. Now,
what is Airbnb? Airbnb
is people who rent their homes and their rooms and their thing out on the internet. Rather than going to a hotel. 7,000 people came into Barbados and did not stay at a hotel. Keep that figure in your mind for a minute. If those 7,000 people bought a costume for crop over and went to one event and spent $1,000 each on that one event or breakfast, lunch and dinner and a costume, 7,000 by $1,000 is $7 million, sir, according to my cheap mathematics. Now, that's $7 million that did not go through a hotel. Now, if those 7,000 people had a good time at crop over, and the band they played in, even if they bought a costume for $500, if the band they played in said, you had a good time this year, if you give me $200 down now, your costume next year will only cost you $100 more. Pay for it now so that when you come back next year, you get a costume for $300 instead of $500 or $700. If they did that, sir, that band leader has seed money to start making next year's costumes this year. Trinidad does it every year for their big things like Tribe and them that got 8,000 people. And people paying $8,000 and $10,000 for a costume. That's how they make money. So it's money, it's business. Now, if those 7,000 people came to Barbados and enjoyed themselves by not staying at a hotel, and tell their friends that next year we're going to Barbados for crop over again because I had a good time. You now have 7,000 plus a few friends. That's how you spread the image. That's how you get people to spend money. That's how you get money circulating in the economy, not by looking at statistics only or at what's happening in the United States or Britain or Brexit or whatever. It is being the best that you can be and delivering the best to your clients internally and externally. Because if the fish cake lady gets treated well, she will treat her customers well. So if the fish cake lady goes to buy oil at Massey's store and get treated badly, she's not going to feel good about doing fish cakes.
Fair enough. But Mr. Johnson, before I go,
yes, sir.
I like your $7,000. Your
7,000 people at $1,000, yeah.
Right, that's all real nice. Listen, this last coffee I got, see? Two Americans who are a relative of a neighbor, but then I say about 15 minutes walking distance. Stay at this neighbor. See, the first thing to do is bought a car. Bring a car, really. After 4 days, is their cousin that they were staying at. No money in come forward.
The cousin or the guy?
No, the cousin that they were staying at. So she's looking now for them to put somebody in her because they got delayed in the air conditioning room and they use the internet online after 4 days. What do you think will happen at the fifth day?
So at the fifth day, right?
Yeah.
They would take the same person that's staying out for a drive in the hard car that they've never been before. They can go to the beach. They can have some fish cakes and bakes and things, and they enjoy themselves, and they'll come back next year. So no matter what silver lining I show you, right, you'll find the dark cloud, except in the United States. Perhaps you should move there. Why that would always happen next to you? You need to change your neighborhood, you know, man. You need to move to neighborhoods where neighborhood people like one another, where visitors is come and enjoy themselves, where, you know, neighbors is going to sit out on the backyard and fry a fish and eat a salt bread and go down by cars on the beach and then stop by, you know, the place around the corner and buy a beer or go in the gas station and get a what do you call this thing now? A Smirnoff Ice and drink it and sit down and chat in the car park. I see it happening all over the place. I see people walking down, you know, into town and thing with a drink in their hand and they hand around a lady with scanty clothes on and they're enjoying themselves. Why you neighbors just want to behave so, though? They go, man, change your neighborhood. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Person says housekeepers, gardeners, and poor persons interact with guests in ways the business owner never would. I know a guy who bought a $6 million home because the gardener and housekeeper keeps the property looking good, and they say it felt like coming home. He's bought more homes here too. Folks tip the staff $1,000, $1,500 regularly. That's how people are treated by people and how they make them feel. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, morning, Dennis.
How are you, sir?
I good. How are
you doing? Early batting today, man. It's good to hear you. I'm good. I'm keeping good.
Every day, your family all good?
They're good.
Every day that you on, I call you now. But, you know, I'm going to start charging some people now for advice. I have a lot of people who call me with problems. So I was on yesterday. But then I had some emergency matters to deal with, so I had to left your program. I'm going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But every day you call, I'm on.
Okay.
I get no. But why call you about today, Dennis? You know, if I tell you something that throughout the world, where there are white people, black people, Indians, Chinese, Jews, you know, there's a small set of each, but not the black people. We haven't learned that yet. But when I done talk to them, we'll learn it. There's a small organized group of each of these races that concentrate on making sure that that race is dominant all the time. The average people that belong to the race that walk with me, you know, speak and help each other, they don't know anything about it, you know. But they will get blamed because their power head, they send out information instructions to them, and we submit to their to the ignorance from their power head, and eventually it feeds into them, and they really believe too that they are superior to us. Now, I said that to explain this to you. We have a police force over here, 1,800 people. We have a nurses organization. We have the customs. We have all our many government departments that only work for reasonable money that they can put down at least $100 a month, at least $100 a month. Then it's $100, maybe they're $100 a week, and again, $100 a week for 1,800 people is $1,800, right? I mean, it's $18,000, you're correct?
By my math, yeah.
Right. Now, if you multiply that there by four, right? If you might play the same 18,000 by four,
mm-hmm.
you got in it 36 or 70 something. Maybe you go for a year, so I don't waste time. A year of $18,000 a week is $216,000. In five years, mm-hmm. that money will now
millions.
Be $1,080,000, right?
Yeah.
Now, you got, the police might be the biggest group, I don't know. But whatever number the other groups are in, they must also do the same thing. Now, they must get, no, whoever the police got looking after their interests, whoever looking after the nurses' interests, the garbage collector, whoever they are, should then form a committee. And that committee should be preparing, should try to find out what these people buy, what they want. And that committee imports everything they want for them. In other words, not for the police alone, for the nurses, everybody. So, and by the way, the police has family. The nurses has family. All of them has family. But instead of them mobilize their resources, and they know they don't do it for purpose, they call nobody, don't shock them with these things. Even me might make these mistakes years ago. But they now have a massive buying organization. You understand that, Dennis?
But, sir, we had the NUPW trying that and it went nowhere. You think
but
it was
the
NUPW?
No. I don't want.
Yeah, but I understand.
I don't want the NUPW. I don't want nothing, sir.
You want the organization itself?
Association.
Well, I know. I was about to tell you, I know a bank that started a buyer's club like that, but I don't know what happened to it afterwards. But, yeah.
Anyway, but what we can do for that, you know, Dennis? Not only we can buy, you know, but we can go to the government now and demand some land to build some houses. You understand? The houses can be built for the same group or sell to anybody they want. What I am saying is this, we have to bring some economic balance to Barbados. I don't care what nobody tells me. I keep warning people, Barbados' problem is not a racial problem, it's an economic problem. And they have a few people who are in position that keep victimizing the growth of our people. So we have to find a way to deal with it. The way to deal with it is that these groups must become, you can still put your money in the credit union, you can still put your money wherever you want to put it, but that $100 you invest in, that you buying all, the buying rum with or buying something, you still can buy a little rum too, right? Now, everybody might not be able to put $100, but who could put 50, put 50. Who could put 25, put 25. But you get your receipt for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm making is this, that if you mobilize now, let me say there are 10 or 12 of them, and they have mobilized their resources, they have got some millions to deal with, you know? You understand?
Yeah, but, but the challenge with it, and it has always been a challenge for us, is that we do not see cooperative movement as being a way of individual wealth. It's a funny way because, as you say, we look... And we see, well, you don't hear a lot of it in Barbados, but in they exist. You hear the Syrian and Lebanese organization, you hear the X association of and the Y association of, and they're just people of the same culture or race banding together to look at common problems and how to solve them. But we've never had that type of, perhaps if we leave our shores, you know, we're getting the West Indian community or the Bajan community in New York or the Bajan community in Canada. But at home, we don't do it. We don't even do it with our family.
Dennis, God put you in this country. God put me in this country and a few more of us. We ourselves must mobilize our intelligence and sit down and discuss these things and document these things and get them out to the people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Dennis Johnson is too brilliant a mind to just be talking there on VOB. You can still talk on VOB, but we should also have a structure in place. There are too many brilliant men in the police force and women, brilliant lawyers, all kinds of people. They just can't decide that they're just working for a salary. They have to understand that their future, the children, which is the future and the grandchildren, depend on what they do now. So somebody from there got to be able to sit down and say, you know something, let's wake up and smell the coffee. Because I might be living right now, but I am just not sure my children will have that same bread. So let me prepare it for them.
Agreed.
You understand what I'm saying then?
Agreed.
So what I'm saying, don't let us wait for them to do it. Let's put structures in place. And I have said I had given to the Nation Islam tonight, the lecture tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Every Wednesday night we lecture in a lodge. Mm-hmm. And I am going to show them, which we're doing, how to mobilize pennies and cents into millions. I can do that. Now you, Dennis Johnson, must find a few, we sit down and become that mouthpiece. They don't have to accept it, no, Mr. Johnson. But we are guilty if we don't give it. Mm-hmm. I know if you don't hand it out. I don't know your opinion on that, right? It don't make sense you having knowledge, Mr. Johnson.
And don't do anything with it.
And not pass it on to your children.
Agreed.
Right? So what I'm saying, Barbados has become a stage where I am concerned, and believe me, Mr. Johnson, I am concerned that in about 10 years or so, black Barbadian people will have no say. They have very little now.
In the economic future or their development? That's frightening, though. I saw something today online that frightened me as well, sir. A senator in Australia said that they must stop bringing people in from third world countries and Muslims, because not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims, and they must have this white-only importation of people into Australia. Then you hear the same type of rhetoric coming out of the U.S.
Yeah.
And one of the previous callers talked today about, you know, the U.S., looking to the U.S. for this and that. If we continue to see other people as the examples by which we should follow, and if this is the examples that they're setting at their highest levels, well, what would motivate our people to move forward and lift themselves and try to get
me and you, Dennis. Me and you and the others, we can find. Let me tell you something. See, you know why Bush doing? Why not Bush? Why Trump is fighting so hard to get a relationship with Russia? You think he's doing it because he cares something about Russia?
No.
He cares about the white
people,
race.
The people that represent. Yeah. The people
and
that
he
represents.
If he could get Russia to unite with America, then all the other poor countries lick up, and they can do whatever they like. And there will be nobody to turn to.
It's economic power, yeah.
Okay, fine. So what I'm saying, Mr. Johnson, you think that you got a little bit of brain power? You think you got a little bit of brain power? You think a little bit of brain power in the police force and the army and the nurse and thing? You mean you tell me that we're going to sit down here and 40 years from now, if we could come back, we would discover that our race in slaves again, that have no economic power? No say in the country now at all. We sit down silent, Mr. Johnson.
Sir?
I think that God can hold people like me and you responsible with the knowledge that we have for not mobilizing ourselves to mobilize our people. We are going to go there and do the big thing, you know. But every now and then we drop a little program, like the one I can give you that I got to give to the nation and give you a copy and let you look at it and see. These things I sit down and think about, Mr. Johnson, because the truth is that whatever we've done, our future, all the education we are getting will be used just like a top quality race horse for the horse owner,
not for the horse. So I want to tell you that you reach more people than you think you do. The people come up to me all the time and say they like to listen to exchanges, they like to listen to you. Sometimes I go back to my desk and they got 7 messages asking me what's your number and how to reach you. So I suppose they figure that, you know, you and I sit down somewhere together and decide what we're going to talk about today when we don't do that at all. The challenge will always be, sir, moving ahead even when the tide rushes against you. Because I know as many people that there are who say they enjoy our discussions and they enjoy the way you think and are motivated by the way you speak, there are people who will say, what is the two you're up to? I'm tired, hear you. It's time to shut up, because they don't like what you say. They also, I mean, it shocked me when on Jamaica's 50th anniversary of their independence, people were saying Jamaica would be better off under the British monarchy than as an independent country, because they're not pleased with either the progress of the country or their own progress. And it is those people, sir, that we got to fight hardest against. Our own people who don't see that by cutting down those around them, all they're doing is hastening their demise. And it's a sad thing. It really is sad. Because when you, and you know this better than anybody else, I suppose, when you go out on the front line, you get pelt with more often from the people you're trying to lead than the people you're leading them against. But good hearing you, sir. Good hearing you.